Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I am coming to you sitting in Marietta in my car. It's raining outside. Definitely traffic is backed up, and always prepare sometimes for these moments because God always deals with me and being prepared, and I just have to be that way. You know, I really have something I want to talk to you about tonight. But before I do, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. God, I appreciate you. Father, how awesome you are. Lord, there is no other God like you. Father, I pray, God, that even as I sit here in the rain, oh Lord, that those that are traveling, some may be listening on their phone, some may be at home, oh God, however they are tuning in tonight, Lord, I pray that you speak to their hearts as they're driving, oh God, that you give them a clear pathway to their destination. Lord, I pray, oh God, also that the words that are released tonight are covered or guarded, Father, that you would deliver them to their ears. This is life-changing tonight, oh God, as you have told me. And, Father, I just thank you, O Lord. I praise you. I lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. As you all know, for probably the last three months, I've been talking about spiritual authority. And if I were to follow that pattern tonight, I was going into chapter number 9, dealing with the man's rebellion in the Old Testament. This week, there were some things that happened, not to me, God spoke to me, and he wanted me to take a different route tonight, and I know you all bought the book, Watchman Needs Spiritual Authority. You may be listening to it if you have it on your Kindle, or some have it in certain kind of ways, you know, where you're still reading it. Don't stop reading the book. The principles in the book are definitely biblical, but tonight is something different, and I want to be transparent with you, so I'll let you know what's going on. Last week, I went to a retreat, and the retreat was prophetic deliverance. I'm so transparent, y'all, that I'm putting this information out here to you because I want you to grab a hold of it. The retreat dealt with a bruise. And if you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18, if you have the King James Version, it's going to talk about the bruise. And so I was blessed that, you know, the people in the retreat that was over it went deeper than other folks. It wasn't an emotional thing. It was really dealing with your bruise. And so one of the things was spirit of rejection. You know, they talked about the spirit of Leah, talked about the spirit of Jezebel, just a whole host of other things, spirit of Ahab. But it wasn't put out there that they would call out the spirit and everybody would point at the individual that was dealing with that, because everybody that was there was dealing with something. And even myself, you know, I'm going to be transparent. I was dealing with the spirit of rejection. And so I knew this, and some folks that know me knew I was dealing with the spirit of rejection, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of compensation that goes on in your life when you're dealing with rejection. You oftentimes you deal with that spirit by either letting folks talk to you any kind of way they want, and you let it be okay, you know, because you don't want to be rejected. Now, that wasn't me. Then you have those that do things that they were not called to do, but they do them, and sometimes they do them good, because people often say, "You were called to do this." Now, I'm going to be quite frank with you. That was me. Because you know, someone told me years ago, said something that really damaged my spirit when I was a kid, and then that wasn't the overall end all, because I had a situation with my father. Man, my dad didn't get along, and so something that happened when, you know, when I was in high school. But I hated when someone told me, and I'm going somewhere, I'm just laying the foundation, right, that you are going to preach like your father. And I'm going to say something, right? So the struggle I had with my dad, you know, resulting from something that someone else said to me, and they tried to attack the bruise, because we all are born with one. And so if you find the bruise, and if you think for a minute that you are free demonically and you're still guarding a portion of your life, you're not free. And so, but just bear with me for so I can lay this out for you. And so the understanding that I had about preaching led me to think pastoring, led me to think leading people, and those things are true. And so now I had to conform my mind to pastor people based upon what I had saw for years. And so I'm still dealing with rejection because I was angry with my father, but after I mended the relationship between me and my dad, I was still angry at how people were being treated in the church. And yet I'm called to preach, and I see the as someone that I can say this, that I love very dearly, said that how they hate injustice. So I felt the injustice in what we call the present-day church. And again, being called to preach, right, because now in my mind, and I hope I'm helping someone has spoken something over my life, but I'm looking at how people do it that's causing the conflict in my spirit. Whew, boy. Because if they're doing it and this is what God wants us to do, I don't understand it, you know. And it wasn't until I became a biblical studier, someone that would dig deep, that discovered that the way that we do church today was not how God had set it up. And y'all got to hear me now. And so now, my big mama told me this, and it resonates in my spirit now more than it ever has. And she told me this. She said, never become successful at something that God never told you to do. Because if you do now, you leave what he asked you to do undone. I'm going to say this again because I really want you all to grab this. Never become successful at something that God never told you to do. Because the day that you do, you leave what he has asked of you undone. Whew. And so now with me looking at preaching and teaching, and God knows I love it, right? But in the atmosphere that I was being pushed to do it, I didn't feel like that's what God wanted me to do. And so now I'm letting the spirit of rejection, because I wanted to be accepted. And I'm doing something that people are asking me to do, right, then just to be accepted when whoever I am is just not acceptable to anybody. Yeah, I want y'all to hear me now. We do things to be accepted. I feel the presence of the Lord. And when we are in a state of mind that they're really never going to accept us. Now, I'm laying a foundation because I want you to get where I'm going. And so I do believe that God did call me to lead people. Watch it now. But not in the form or the format by which I was doing it. Because I went years thinking about the building, the church, the people, and but I had a conflict in my spirit because now you got to put money into this building, and it's difficult to put time and effort in the people when you're trying to take care of a building. And now my dilemma was just not that. My dilemma was how much I love doing business. Whoo, boy, about to go somewhere. If I could have told you my younger years growing up, I never intended, never saw myself being a businessman. I went in the military, you know, and it wasn't until I got a joy out of doing it, you know, that was the thing that pushed me. Now, my problem now became people and myself. Because when people wanted me to be in the quote-unquote the church building doing what they thought I should do, I was rejecting the place where God was sending me. Well, I hope y'all hear me here tonight. And this was out of the spirit of rejection. And so I had some people that prayed for me while I was at this retreat, and I said, Lord, get this spirit off of me. And when the spirit left, I felt something new hit me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, do not walk around here thinking that because you speak in tongues, you clap your hands and all that, that you're not dealing with something that is guarding your bruise. And it won't let the bruise heal. And if you read Luke 4:18, Jesus has come for the bruise. So now, if you're struggling now, doing something that everybody else wants you to do, but you find joy in doing something else, I'm talking to you tonight. I'm talking to you tonight because now I'm going to go into why tonight is so important. Because God called me into the marketplace. And that's where he called me. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody going to church. And, you know, if you really go back and study the gathering together of the saints, it was not, you know, done the way that we do it, right? And everybody said you change with time. Right, but then we preach that Jesus is the same or God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if that be the case, and if we're following what he gave us, then something is wrong here because we're missing it. And so now I have a love to do business. And my love to do business has increased, and my struggle was everybody that knows me, that have heard me preach or teach or anything to that nature, would struggle with the fact that if it felt like that I was walking away from the quote-unquote the present-day preaching in the church to go do business. Now, I'm going to lay a caveat out here, and I'm laying a foundation because I'm going somewhere. Trust me, it's gonna take me a minute because I want you to follow me now. You know, I asked myself this question. Who, and I pondered this question to many other people, and they struggle with it themselves. Who has more influence on people, the pastor or the business owner? Think about that now. Because if you're going to church now, I didn't say God, I said the pastor. Who has more influence on your life, the pastor or the business owner, the man or the woman that you work for? Because if it's church, we get a chance to experience that in a corporate setting with other believers, probably at the max 3-4 hours during the week. I want y'all to think about that now. 3-4 hours out of the week, we are dressed up and in a building that we call church.
half the time, we are not engaged in the process. We just there. It's not getting it, we're not giving anything or getting anything out of it other than the fact that someone saw us there. That is not the case for everybody. Some folks go there and they get their praise on, they get their worship on, and that's what they call it, right? And some of us are confused. We think praise is worship, and worship is not praise. Praise is not worship, and there's a difference between the two, but I don't want to go there tonight. You know, we spend our time there, but in order to feed our family, we give the people that we work for anywhere between 40 to possibly 60 hours a week. Listen to me now. We give them, if you're a nurse, the possibility that you're working 48 to 60 hours. You're probably working 36 hours at one location, a hospital or something, and you're working 20 or 30 hours at another one. Because this is how you feed your family, right? You are working, and so whether you're in, I'm in Atlanta, whether you're with Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, one of the hospitals, colleges here, Georgia Tech, Emory, Georgia State, you know, wherever you are, you work, and some of us have the privilege now working for ourselves, you know. But even if you're working for yourself, you have to give the process by which you are going to bring money in to eat, to sleep, to pay your bills, it's going to require at least 60 hours. And when I say that 60 hours, because some we get up early in the morning, and we won't be late for work, but we'll walk into church late, you know. And I'm not trying to make church more important than the job. The body of Christ, right, has a significance to it, but that building we call church does not. So listen now. Now, and I want you to grab a hold of this. In the church, the pastor is encouraging you to live a certain way, and that you would, you know, mostly pay your tithes and be a giver. Live a certain life and give your tithes. The business owner is going to exchange your expertise and for an hourly rate to pay you, because their bigger picture is to produce a product, and then they need you now to produce that. I want y'all to ride with me now. Don't go nowhere. You got to hear what I'm saying. And so he's going to pay you, give you benefits, and possibly 2 weeks off out of the 52 weeks that you may work for that organization. You're going to get 2 weeks if you just got there, possibly 3, 4 if you've been there for a long period of time. If you work for yourself, you're going to have to get time off when you can, because your business is how you live. I'm going somewhere now. I want y'all to listen to me. When you work for someone, you are controlled, right, on the time you have to be there and the time you can leave. And we don't wrestle with the control, because in order for us to get the money to feed our families, to send our kids to college, to pay our bills, we got to go to work. We have to go to work, right? I want y'all to think about that now. Look at how, number one, I've already said now, the spirit of rejection can make you do things or accept things when the reality is it's not acceptable. I want y'all to hear me now. And so we not only do that in relationships, we do that with what we work and who we work for. We accept things that God never told us to accept. We go places that God never told us to go, and we do this in the almighty name of, I need to take care of my family. We do this in ministry. Many pastors were never called to be pastors. They either got angry because of something that happened at a previous ministry and left to start a church because they thought they could do it better. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. If you're listening to me, I'm pouring my heart out tonight. And so some of the pastors were truly evangelists, and they have a mobile gift, and they put themselves in a stationary position, and they get frustrated because they want to move, but they can't move around because a pastor is a stationary gift. I want y'all to hear me. So the struggle now becomes that you're pastoring a church when in all actuality, you should be mobile evangelized. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further. It was 4 years ago that God sit me down, and he let me see the biblical context of how we make something churchy that he never meant for it to be. And I want y'all to listen to me because I'm going, and I'm laying a foundation because when I get there, you're going to sit back and say, okay. So if you look at the pastor, you can really see a businessman because one is controlling, quote, spiritually, and notice what I said, control. The other one is controlling someone naturally. One is telling you that they have a word that you need to hear, you need to be led. The other one says, I have a job you need to come to because you have to be fed, right? And so you have these two, but one is not going to have to look long to find someone because everybody is looking for a job. The other is struggling to get people to just come in because of the fact that, you know, it's a church. It's a church. And now, if I was called to the marketplace, being a marketplace minister, evangelist, a marketplace apostle, in which that's what God had called me, because if I want to take God's gift and put it in a building, I am burying that gift when he has placed it in the marketplace. So now, Jesus spent little time in the temple, in the tabernacle. He really didn't go to the tabernacle, he went in the temple. The tabernacle was a tent. Solomon built the temple, and Jesus rarely went in the temple. He dealt completely in the marketplace where no one recognized really who he was until he revealed himself. They really didn't know who he was until he revealed himself. And as he revealed himself, he had something that was being released in the marketplace that the religious folks in the building did not understand. Whew, Lord Jesus. So here we are now, and I'm going to get to the point of where I am because in order for you to understand this, I have to have you to read Genesis chapter number 1, and you have to read it differently now, not as the beginning of creation, but as a provision for God's vision. I really want you to grab this now. Genesis chapter number 1 is the provision for God's vision. And so, which means now that God provided for us before he brought us in this earth. So every vision that God has been provided for before he brings the vision in. A visionary is only supposed to position themselves in the place where the provision is. Because you cannot wait for the provision. God has already provided it for you. Now, I'm about to let you know where I'm going. Let there is something that is brewing in the atmosphere. And if we're not careful, we will be doing things that God never asked of us to do, and we're going to miss this visitation. If Jesus spent his time in the marketplace to where he dealt with people that did business, watch it now, everybody that he dealt with were not character businessmen. They were not. They were thieves, they were liars, and they were cheats. But their experience with him caused them to now change. So when you read Genesis chapter number 1, I want you to look at it differently because this is the earth being shaped and being formed, and the formation and the shaping of the earth indicates one thing, that now that God has done this, he now brings his vision in, and I'm going to dispel some myths because I'm going to connect this with what I said earlier, because now when we get to Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 to verse number 25, and some of you have been around me when I've taught this, right, and that's a specific reason why I'm going to it tonight, right, so when you read that, this is how God shapes, forms the earth, puts things in place, and gives commandments that they be fruitful and multiply or replenish after their own kind. And so this is fish, trees, herb, bang, bush, anything that God created except for the sun and the moon. Except for that now. And so after he finishes that on each occasion, he says, and it was good. And now, once he finished with the provision, he brings his vision in. And this is in verse number 26. You are the vision of God, right? So now, look at this now. He said, and God said, let us make man. And in the image of God, he makes male and female. And so the image of God is spirit. It's not flesh. It's not a body. So you look in the mirror, you're not looking at God. Quit telling folks that. Your spirit was made in the image of God. And so for that reason, right, the male and the female spirit were created at the same time. The male's body was created and he became a man. The Bible says that it hadn't rained upon the earth and a mist came up from the earth and it says that he formed man. He created the male spirit, but he formed the man's body. And he breathed into the body the breath of life. The original text in the Bible, if you go years back in the early 1700s, it speaks of how God took the spirit of the male and the female and placed it into this body. That one body housed the male and the female spirit. Now, I'm going to, just bear with me now. I don't have much time, right? He now gives them dominion, the spirit now, he gives dominion over everything he had created except for the sun and the moon and the stars. He didn't give them authority over that. But now look now, with that kind of authority, Adam didn't have a need. He did not have a need because everything God provided for him, the only thing God wanted Adam to do was to worship him. That was it. He didn't want him to do anything else. He gave him a job to do that he would tend to the garden, but that was for him. It wasn't for God. That was for him. The only thing that Adam was responsible to do was to obey God, worship him. And so in a book I'm writing, we get into, and I don't want to get into that, you know, it was God that saw that Adam was alone. Adam was doing the work, and so God gives him a wife, right? So I don't want to go into that, but the thing that I'm focusing on tonight is the fact that your spirit, when free, connected to God, has dominion over the earth. Now, someone asked me, what does that mean in today? Well, number one, you have to be in the place doing the thing that God wants you to do. When Jesus even identifies this, he tells them in Matthew chapter number 6 that when they were asking for things, he says to them, don't you know your Heavenly Father know what you have need of? And if he knows that you have need of, seek the kingdom. That's something that we don't know. Where am I going with this? If the earth is holding your provision because it's not hearing the voice of God come out of you, then you find yourself doing things that God never asked of you to do. Because you're not connected spiritually the way the Lord wants you to be, it's difficult for you to find your passion. I want you to hear me loud and clear now. Because there are certain spirits that are looming around here that don't want you to realize that you were given an authority. And with that authority, the earth was commanded to give you your provision. And those spirits now can keep your spirit silent, and you're not able to go to the place and do the thing that God is asking you to do. We force ourselves now to be in a place to look good for other people, to work and have a job. We force ourselves, and it becomes work. It becomes a job, something that we don't enjoy. And we're working now to receive something that God gave to us for free. If the earth is your provision, I want you to pay close attention now when I say this. If the earth were given to us as a provision, that means that everything that we drive, we eat, everything that we live in, we sleep under, that we wear, whatever we do that has something to do with work came from the earth. Because it was commanded to provide for us. And what happens is the earth releases a raw material, and God gives you an idea to take that raw material and turn it into something that someone else needs. Jesus knew this, and he exercised those gifts consistently, and he was showing us that, and we today think more about it from a religious perspective and talk church, and that's not what he wanted. If we really stop for a moment, and if we can look at the people that we work for and all of the issues that they have, we complain because we are working somewhere for a people or a company or some individual that really don't care anything about us. Some folks work for good people, and they do care about you, you know. But we complain about processes. We complain about things that happen within the job, and we are supposed to be the children of God. So if there's a problem, God has given us an answer. But we don't realize the answer because we are consistently complaining about what we're doing. We love dealing with people. We hate working this job. There's no enjoyment in it. But we force ourselves to do it every day because we don't have anything else to do. And because of that spirit of rejection, we will accept something. Y'all know where I'm going now. We will accept something when God never meant for it to be acceptable. We will eat something when God never meant for it to be consumed. Look how we deal with this now. Why is this conversation so important tonight? There is something brewing over the horizon. And we all experienced it roughly when President Bush, the son, and not blaming him for it, was getting out of office. That was an economic downfall. And through that economic downfall, not only the quote-unquote people that love God suffered through this, but also the folks that are the pastors that had these people working and that were losing their jobs, they were losing money because nobody would give. The pastor that needed the people to give didn't have an opportunity to give to them that they could work. Uh-oh. I guess it's all tying in now. And so because they couldn't offer you a job, all they could do was pray for you, and that just wasn't good enough when you had a family to feed, that bills to pay, and you didn't want to be out in the cold. But that business owner had an opportunity for you, you know, to go do and work for them, help them make millions while they pay you pennies. Folks, we're headed right back there again. We're headed right back there again. And if you are not sure of what God has called you to do, there's a possibility, I don't care how much you pray, if you're not listening to the Lord talk to you, that job is going to wither away. And he's speaking to you right now. Somebody said, well, Apostle, everybody can't run a business. Everybody don't do that. You run a business every day. When you run your household, that's a business. You run your household. That's a product. You run it. That's a service. You run it. And you work to bring money in that that product can continue to produce, that the service will continue to be offered. What am I telling you tonight? I don't want you, because you feel rejected, to do something that God never asked you to do. And what he is asking of you to do is not complicated, because he gave your spirit authority over the earth. Listen to me now. There are ideas that God is giving you because of the situation that you are in, and he's trying to pull you out of the mentality of doing something that he's not asking of you, that you would do something that you have a passion for. And he will show you how that passion, along with obedience of what he's asking of you, does more than provide for you. Because he's already provided. The earth has not released your provision because it doesn't hear the obedience that's coming out of you. It feels like a struggle because what God has asked of you to do may seem difficult, or you don't know how. And you may think that you got to have this great big education, and you don't. All you got to do is do the very thing that the Lord has asked of you to do. And let me get to why this is important. I want you to hear me, because all this ties in, and I need you to grab this now. See, I'm running around here preaching, and I study, and I can preach, but the authority that God gave me was in the marketplace. He gave me the authority in the marketplace. And when he delivered me and freed me, he freed me from being or trying to be something that he did not ask of me to be. Anybody that knows me, if you come to me with an issue, with a problem, and it has something to do with your work or your business or something of that nature, you know, real quickly, God would give me something to give you, and it's life-changing. It may be it may be an article, you know, that you've read, or I know two particular people right now that have some books that they've been writing, and those books just haven't sold. And one of those people I encourage, because the Lord put it in my spirit, you know, at that particular moment, they know they're a writer, but their focus was the book, not the magazine. So they wanted to focus on writing the books and getting the books out there. The real blessing that God was delivering me in the Word comes from the magazine. And that magazine focuses on everything that that individual went through and everything that was associated with it. God got a plan. And he can change your life if you just listen to him. Someone else, it wasn't about writing the book, but it was the people that they worked for. And how the injustice would happen in versus, you know, well, in terms of homeowners. And in having that conversation with them, you know, I said to them, you know, God has placed you in this particular location right here, and he's in with this company, with this particular builder, national known builder, and they don't honor their homeowner warranty, but you know what this means. And I'm not going to call their name out, but you know what this means. And so immediately God gave me a business for them, and if they listen to the Lord and they move out of the way, God is going to make them a billionaire. So everywhere I'm turning, because I decided that I will be delivered from rejection, and that I'm going to do the very thing that God asked of me to do, as soon as I came back, the thoughts, the moves, the doors that opened for business was that I could now do the very thing that God has asked me to do, like Jesus did, walk out of this building and get amongst people that don't know him, and let them experience the power of God in the marketplace. I cannot tell you how many business ideas, formations, pushing of certain aspects of business that God has given me, because it now wasn't about making money. It was about producing people in the marketplace that could own a business and have God's influence on them. Did I just confuse you? Yes. Not the church that we so often talk about, but the body of Christ active in the marketplace. Listen to me real well. The church is where you try to convince people to come to so they can hear your pastor, listen to the choir sing, or hear a word. If you tell somebody that I got a job, or there's a business, or business owner, this company is looking for someone, and they're going to pay you 75, 80, 90 grand a year to do a certain thing, that is going to grab your attention more, and you think it's because of the money. Oh, the money is good, but still, if you're doing something that God didn't ask you to do, it's going to be the worthless job you can have. But if the earth is your provision, and God gave it to his own people, and even Jesus was a businessman, he was a carpenter. He would make tables and chairs. Paul made tents. Peter was a fisherman. I want you to see this now. These were not folks hanging around in a building, putting a robe on, trying to attract someone else's attention. These were men in the marketplace. Deborah was a judge in the marketplace. I want y'all to hear me now. We spent too much time, and you struggled too long trying to conform, right, because of a bruise, because you were rejected, because you didn't feel worthy of it, or that someone told you that you was a mistake and that you should not have ever been born. All that did was cultivate a bruise, and you decided that you were going to try to do everything to make that statement that they said a lie. So now you find yourself, even today, yes, ladies and gentlemen, in your 50s and 60s, yes, doing stuff because you don't want to make it look like you are rejected. But everything you're doing says that you are. God never told you to do what's necessary to heal your bruise. Jesus said he came to do it. I want y'all to hear me. This is my heart tonight. This is you being able to stop and pay close attention to everything that the Lord has said to you, and taking a hard look now at the fact that there's a possibility you're doing something just to make other people happy, and this is not what God asked you to do. Again, I'm going to repeat what my big mama told me, and it's ringing in my spirit more heavier than anything that I've ever said to you. Don't be successful at something that God never told you to do. Because the day that you do is the day that you leave what God has asked of you undone. So I want to go a little bit further, and, it's going to take me about 10 minutes to do this, and I really want to do this because this is what God laid upon my heart to do, and I want to obey him. For everyone that is listening to me tonight, God has given you something specific to do. And I want to tell you that if you're dealing with the spirit of rejection, and if you can really say that, you know, I know this, for you all that don't know, you won't be sure about it. But there are those out there that are listening right now that you tried to deal with it. You've done everything. We talked to the Lord and stuff of that nature. But if you have really overcome rejection, the thing that someone touches in your life that makes you cringe or that makes you withdraw or makes you pull away from folks, that devil still has that bruise scar. Still has it, God. And the only way that you're going to be free of that thing is to really ask God to deliver you. Now, the reason why I'm asking, and I want to say this to you, because once God delivers you from it, he removes that spirit, because this is what you want. And that chief ruling spirit takes the rest of the spirits with him. But the thing that really helps behind this is that those spirits live in dark places, and that bruise becomes a dark place in your life where you don't want nobody to know that you were molested when you was a child. You don't want nobody to know that, and so you guard that, you cover that. You don't want nobody to know that you was a male and they molested you. You know, you don't want nobody to know that you were adopted or because you didn't have a relationship with your natural-born father, you feel rejected. Or someone whispered something in your ear and told you that you would never have and you could never be. And they spit that stuff out at you, and you received it not knowing that you had. And it has created a protection. Those demonic spirits will guard that bruise to the point to where anytime somebody wants to say anything about it, or touch it, you flinch or you cringe and you get away. And then that spirit will leave and not guard that bruise because he hasn't taught you how to do that. He has instructed you on how to protect your own self. And now we guard ourselves because we don't want to be hurt. We don't want to be wounded. Now that spirit really has control over us. Because the very thing that God asks us to do, if it requires that bruise to be touched, we won't do it. We won't do it. Some of us won't do anything. And I seen a quote today that says, and I may not quote it completely correct, but, you know, they don't want to live life with a regret, or don't want regret to live their life, or because of fear, they don't want to regret anything. And only regrets come when you don't do something that you should have. That's that if I coulda, woulda, shoulda type situation. So tonight I'm saying to you, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper because I laid this foundation, and next Thursday I'm going to go a little bit deeper because I want you to see this. The first thing is that we have to be free from the spirit of rejection. We have to be free from it. I don't know if it's whether you dated somebody and you got drugs, man or woman. I don't know if someone and you was adopted, that someone took your sibling and left you. You know, I don't know if you grew up in a household in which it seems as though everybody, you know, loved one sibling and they couldn't stand you. Rejection can come from so many different ways. And that stuff bleeds out on us as we grow older when we thought we dealt with it and we really haven't. And I'm saying this to you because to be relieved and have a spirit moved out of your life opens up doors for you. And you're going to need those doors open, ladies and gentlemen, because we're headed for economic downfall. And I want the spirits out of your life, and I want you hearing what God is asking of you to do. If it's business, and you know this is what God has asked you to do and called you to, I want you to run to it. I'm not looking for you to run to a church or run to an altar or anything of that nature. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not asking you for an offering. That's definitely not what I'm saying. What I really want you to think about is the very thing that God has asked you to do. And when he asked you to do it, you said, I can't do that. I got to take care of my family. Not knowing that the very thing he asked you to do was going to do more than take care of your family. It was going to position your family to do something greater than what they're doing right now. I know this is a different conversation for you all, but next week I want to show you, you know, how much authority you have in the earth, how much wisdom God has placed on you that you can see now when you're free, when you can begin to see the things that are going to change and how doors open and how these thoughts and these business ideas come to you, and as they come, God is giving you that so you can change others' lives. Because if God gives you a business that's huge and big, it becomes, in some folks' mind, a church. Because they're coming to you because of your vision. They're coming to you because of the idea that they're going to be able to provide for their family. And so they're coming to you because, you know, of your character, what you're going to do, or how you're going to do it. If we really took a good hard look, ladies and gentlemen, we may be angry at ourselves because we're standing in place where we're not influencing anything that God gave us to do. We're just collecting a paycheck. And then we go to church and sit silently as someone talks about their revelation of God. And you never discover what your revelation of God is. I want you all to really dig deep tonight. It may not be the spirit of rejection. You may have married someone, ladies, that wasn't faithful. And he stayed married to you for a very short period of time and just woke up and said, I don't want you no more. Makes you feel like you're rejecting. You don't know why. You may be a brother that have not done the things that God has asked you to do, and your wife is doing it all, dealing with the spirit of Ahab, where you have king's authority and won't use it. You might be a woman that the spirit of control, you know, and I want to share this with you, has a Jezebel spirit, but the spirit always doesn't mean that you're controlling something. It means that everybody else around you may think you're trying to control something because their spirit is going to be talking to them. You know? Same way we reject. You may not feel rejected, and the only reason why people are presently rejecting you now, because that spirit is on you, is dealing with them and telling them, reject them, reject them, reject them. I want you to be free tonight. I want you to be free and that you can be released from the hold that these spirits have on your life, because the next stage of your life is critical that you be demons free, if I can say that. Yeah, you can be that way. That you can be demon free. And if you're demon free, then you are going to experience what it means now to hear from the Lord and do something that he's asked of you and watch the heavens open for you. I'm transparent, ladies and gentlemen. There's no trick and no pony and dance show with me. You know, I don't want to get into the hacking and you know, I don't want to do that. I want you to grab this, because everything now, as someone told me, is intentional. It's intentional. I intend to obey God. I intend to be free. I intend to help people start businesses. I intend to operate in the kingdom in the marketplace. I intend to do this. If it's writing books, I intend to do it. I want you to be intentional tonight. And if you're listening to me, we're going to start this process this way, because of the authority that God has given you. We're going to cast away a spirit that's on your life right now. And I want you to really understand this, and I'm going to close this night out. So if you're really with me and you know you're dealing with something, don't trick yourself, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this ain't about raising your hands or anything. I want you to bow your head right now. And I'm not going to do anything but speak to that spirit. And if your head's bowed, the presence of the Lord, I'm speaking to the spirit of rejection. I'm speaking to Ahab, the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Leah. I'm speaking to those spirits right now, the spirit of greed. I'm speaking to it right now. And if you have a hand on those people, release them right now. Go. You're not wanted. In the name of Jesus, we declare. Folks, if you wanted that spirit gone, it's gone. I need for you now to fill your spirit with the spirit of light, and that's Jesus. So real quickly, Father, if these spirits have been released from their life, I pray, God, that you give them a fresh anointing right now. Oh, God, restore them, refresh them, oh, God. Fill those dark places with light. In the name of Jesus, I declare it to be so. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may not believe it, you know, but I want you to rejoice in the Lord, because next week we're going to deal with something along these lines. And I want to say this, you know, Saturday morning there's something great that's going on at the Loop, at the Embassy Suite Hotel, Tawana Bay, Haywood Bay, I'm sorry. Going to kill me. Tawana Haywood Bay is doing a presentation, and she's talking about doing business in the marketplace. I want you all, if you know who I am, to get in contact with me so you can be there Saturday morning. Until then, I want you to walk in freedom, because God now has your ear, and he is going to talk to you. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Y'all be good now.